Let's go to the book of James this morning and let's talk about liberty. Liberty. James chapter 1, I want us to take a look down here. In verse 25, the Bible says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you so much for this time, this opportunity to come here to hear from your word. Pray, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared and ready to receive what you have for us in regards to the liberty that you've given. And Lord, I am very thankful for the country that we do have, and I'm thankful for the blessings of the freedoms that we have. And Lord, I just pray for our government, for those that are in the leadership, that Lord, first and foremost, they would trust you as their Savior. And secondly, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and grant them the wisdom to rule and govern according to your will and your ways. And Lord, I do want to thank you for all those that have given their lives and sacrificed so much, whether in death or in other physical forms, Lord, so that we can have this freedom that we enjoy here today, that we could have the independence from tyranny that you have given us. And Lord, I pray that we would never, ever forget what you've done. And Lord, while we may have a great country here, it will not compare to what you have for us in eternity, that we would never forget the salvation that you have given us from that tyrannical form of sin and death, and how you gave me a life eternal with you. Lord, I pray that this will be our thought this morning. We would focus around your word. We'd be of one mind towards your word. Your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And these things I do ask and pray in your son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, this is a verse that is very interesting because it talks about a perfect law of liberty. And sometimes law and liberty do not seem to go hand in hand. Liberty is something that is often misunderstood, and I know that every 4th of July I talk about some liberty or some freedom that we have. And we know that we have an immense amount of freedom in this country. I would rather be a Christian in the United States of America with all her flaws than to be a Christian in China or North Korea or Iran or Iraq or Syria. Those are places where this is not acceptable. You can't do these things. You can't teach about liberty. You can't talk about Jesus Christ. You can't say and pray openly and publicly, thanking God for what he's done for us. We can't do those things over there. In this country, we still can. And I'm very thankful to God that we are. And I do pray that God would continue to bless this country and bless the principles upon which it was founded, as long as they are still founded upon Scripture itself. But liberty is tricky because people don't understand liberty. You know, often is the case you say a word and some things are obviously associated with it. We think about things that that correlate to liberty and to freedom, and we have a very distinct view of what that looks like. But liberty is not a freedom to do whatever you want. Now, bless his heart for what he did, Webster did try to define liberty. And he defined liberty in such a way as freedom from restraint. And he defines it as a body is at liberty when it is not confined. A mind or a will is at liberty when it is not checked or controlled. Man is at liberty when there's no physical force that operates to restrain his actions. And I began thinking about that definition. I began to ask myself the question, is that right or wrong? Is that truly what liberty is supposed to be? A freedom from anything that would restrain us in any way, shape, or form. That's not what liberty is, folks. Not according to the Word of God. Liberty, by its very nature, must have governance. Liberty, by its very nature, must have law. Without it, it is called anarchy. And when we see that, we think to ourselves, well, do I have, as a Christian, a complete liberty to do whatever I want to do? The answer is no. The answer is no. I think about that there for a minute, and I think about liberty, and the things that come up to my mind is that child, they hit 18 years old, and they got their own car, and they got their own job, and maybe they're going out on their own, and they get excited because what do they have now? They've got freedom. They've got liberty. They're out of mom and dad's house. And what happens? If they're not taught what liberty is and how liberty has to be used and what liberty is for a Christian, then they dive into chaos. They dive off into a world which they're not prepared to deal with. I always think it's hilarious, the boy that's the rebel. Oh, he's going to tell me what to do. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm going to go join the Marine Corps. Have fun with that one. Man, they tell you to do everything and when you're going to do it and how long you're going to do it and exactly how you're going to do it. And if you don't do it that way, then, well, may God have mercy on your soul because the drill sergeant won't. But, you know, very clearly you understand, you know, we talk about liberty in such a way that we think that it's free from the restraint, it's free from shackles, but liberty is not that. If we have a mind or a will that is at liberty according to that definition, that is not checked and is not controlled, that is anti-scriptural. Because does not the Bible say that we are supposed to control our thoughts? Does he not say that our thoughts are supposed to be brought into captivity of Christ? If we don't do those things, then we are not at the liberty that God wants us to be. And notice how he phrases it here. Look again here in verse 25. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. And this is what I want to do this morning. I want us to look into liberty. I want us to really ask ourselves some questions about the liberty that God has given us. What do we do with liberty? Where does liberty come from? What does liberty have in order to survive? If you were to ask people today about what liberty has to have to survive and where does it originate and why in the world would we want liberty and what is liberty meant for? If you were to ask that on the street, you'd get some of those dumb answers that we always see. I've looked at them before. My personal favorite was one of the guys that said, he just asked them a question. What country is the Panama Canal in? And you know what their response was? South America. Some guy said Texas. I'm like, Texas is big, but I don't think it's that big. I'm like, come on, Panama Canal. How? It's in Panama. It just becomes obvious. And when you ask people about liberty, the answers are the same. They don't understand it. They don't know what liberty is. And if you don't know what liberty is, how are you going to use it the way God wants you to use it? Have you ever handed somebody a tool and they just looked at you like, I don't even know what this is for? You're working with somebody and you say, hey, okay, so this is what we need to do. We have to dig this trench. We have to do this. And you hand them a shovel and they look at the shovel and they go, what's this? It's called a shovel. What do I do with it? Dig. If somebody doesn't even know how to use a shovel, how can you expect them to know how to dig? You ever seen somebody try to use a shovel incorrectly? You look at them and you go, wow, that's pretty amazing. They don't even know how to use a shovel. They don't even know the difference between a spade and a shovel. Aren't they one and the same? No. But people, again, I'm talking about, you know, you may not know the difference between a spade and a shovel. And honestly, you know what? It really doesn't matter that much unless you dig holes for a living, okay? But when it comes to the Word of God, we got to know what God gives us. We got to know if God gives us something, what we're supposed to do with it. You know, God gives us the Bible. We got to know what it's for, right? We got to know what exactly we're supposed to do with it. God gives us salvation. God expects us to know what to do with it. God gives us a body. He expects us to know how to possess it, right? I mean, very clearly, God gives us things that we're supposed to know how to do. The same is true with the liberty that He gives us. I want you to go over to John chapter 8. And as we know, when we begin to associate things of liberty, you know, we very frequently think of the connection between liberty and freedom. And in John chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible tells us that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, this is an often quoted verse because we talk about how liberating truth is. When we're caught in a lie and we tell truth, then obviously there's something that changes. And it can bring about mercy and things of that nature. But one thing that we do know very clearly is that in order for the freedoms and the liberties that we have, in order for them to be and in order for them to exist, truth must be present. Truth has to be present. Or present. When we think about this for a second, we think about what truth really is and what truth it is according to the Christian. We know that He has said, thy word is truth. Jesus Christ said that God's word was truth. He Himself, being the Word of God, according to John chapter 1, said later on that He was the way, the what? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is the truth of it. There is the liberating factor that we have in salvation. You know what a lie is? A lie is something that destroys. When somebody says, I can get to heaven on my own because I'm a good person. I can get to heaven by working for it. I can get to heaven by doing this, and I can get to heaven by doing that. I'm not such a bad person. God's going to weigh my good deeds and my bad deeds. I'm going to trust a false god to bring me to a paradise or a point of nirvana. I'm going to trust something else other than God and His word. Those are all lies. And in the end, they all lead to death. Because they've never been freed from that shackle of death. They've never had those chains of bondage broken, which is what liberty does. Has to be truth. You want to know why it is so important that the media tells the truth? Because if the media doesn't tell the truth, then they're bringing you into bondage. If the media is trying to bring you into bondage, then that means they want you to think a certain way so that you will be under their control. Well, what's the problem with that? I don't want the media telling me what to think or what to say or what to do. I want Jesus Christ telling me that. I want the Holy Spirit telling me that. I want my eternal God and Father telling me that. I want His Word telling me that. Not a newspaper organization. not a news organization. Truth is important. Truth is not there, we'll never have liberty. Because there's always a lie. There's always something back there that is meant to shackle and to keep people in bondage. Go over to 2 Peter. Go over to 2 Peter. Take a look at some of these passages. Kind of get us a bit of an understanding in 2 Peter chapter 2. And here he's talking about those that are preaching unrighteousness. And in verse 17 he says, these type of people are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. You know, God makes it clear that if there's something in your life that has overcome you, you're in bondage. You're in bondage. Sin is something that overcomes us. And praise God, there was an overcomer. His name was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ overcame sin and death. And because of that, he has set me at liberty because I trust him as my Savior. I think that's very clear. But what we have here is we also have a situation where sometimes we can go back to that same bondage that we've been released from. We can go back to that situation. Go over to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, the Bible makes it very clear here what iniquity does. Proverbs chapter 5, in verse 22, it says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. You know what ties our hands from doing what is right? Sin. You know what keeps us from doing God's will? Sin. You know what keeps us from our Bible and keeps us from going to church? Sin. You know what keeps us from telling others about Jesus Christ? Sin. You know what really truly restricts your Christian walk and your Christian life? Sin. It ties you back. It holds you back. You're not at liberty to do what God wants you to do. You're not at liberty to serve him. There's no truth. Go over there to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 16. Says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We all have a choice. Now praise God, God is not dictating to us how we are going to do. We're not robots. We have a free will to choose. And we have a choice about whom we're going to serve, whom we're going to obey. Are we going to be a servant of sin unto death, or are we going to be a servant of God? Are we going to be a servant of obedience unto righteousness? We have a choice about who we serve. God makes it clear that we're going to be one or the other. We're going to be a child of God, or we're going to be a child of the devil, a child of disobedience, a child of wrath. A child of darkness, or we could be that child of light. We have that choice that we can be. We can be in freedom and in liberty. You know, liberty by its very nature must have light. Interestingly enough, you may say what you will about what stands in that New York Harbor. With the Statue of Liberty, what's she holding? She's holding two things. One's a book and one's a what? Torch. Why? For light. Why? And she's called the Statue of Liberty because liberty requires light. There's not much liberty if you're in darkness. Matter of fact, you know what it gets? It gets to be very challenging. Anybody ever decide to try to navigate their house at night when there's no lights on? It doesn't end well, does it? Your shins and your toes, thank you later. But we know that God very clearly gives light. We have a choice. You know, there's a freedom from sin. You turn over to Romans chapter 8, we're right there in verse 21. It says, because the creature itself, in verse 21 of chapter 8 of Romans, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now praise God, aren't you glad that you are freed from corruption? Now look, I understand that this body is going to fail. Some of our bodies are failing. Some of our bodies are beginning to fall apart and we're beginning to realize that we have lived way past our warranty date. And we are now in deep trouble because there's no more parts left for us. The manufacturers stopped making parts. And we can't get anything new. Guess what? This body may pass away, but this is not me. I have a home in heaven. No longer going to be touched by corruption. And one day I will get a glorious new body. Glorified. Not subject to sickness and having a chiropractor snap me back into place. Not going to have any of those things. And here we are, removed from that bondage of corruption, of sin and death, into the liberty, the glorious liberty of the children of God. Go over to 2 Corinthians, we're right there, 2 Corinthians, and jump over to chapter 3. And I want you to see this here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 17, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. You know what that means? That means that the liberty that we have, we are free from corruption. We are free from sin sentencing us to death. The second death. The lake of fire. We're free from that. You know what else? It has to have that truth involved. And God's given us truth. You know what else has to be present there? The Holy Spirit of God. That's why we're sealed under the day of redemption. That's why we have the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives and begins to show us and begins to teach us and begins to give us things that we have that we need in order to make through this life. He has given us these things. And here we are as Christians and we have the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is required in order for liberty to be present. Do you know what that means? That liberty is not a foundation of American thinking. Liberty is foundation in Scripture, in Bible, in God Himself. And that's where we have to begin to define it. And to realize that yes, liberty is truth. Liberty is freedom from the bondage. Liberty deals exclusively with the Holy Spirit of God. And to have the Holy Spirit of God in our life. And that means that when we are free from something, God frees us to something. It's repentance. People get mixed up with repentance because they don't know what repentance is. Repentance is where you turn from something to something else. So when we talk about man repenting, and I'm not going to go into details about what it says about God over there in Jonah and in Genesis chapter 6, but we'll talk about that later some other time. We've talked about it before. But let's talk about man's repentance. What man's repentance is? Man's repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. That's not repentance. That just means you're sorrowful. Well, I'm sorrowful too. I'm sorrowful that, you know, the other day I didn't get to eat a jelly bean. I'm sorry. Okay, sorrow. Repentance is not, I apologize. Which you should do. Because an apology is an admittance of you were wrong. And that has a far greater weight than saying, I'm sorry. If you just go up to somebody, and let's say poor Dennis here, in case you don't know, his shoulder is in really bad shape, and I come up and I just whack him one. I would never do that to Dennis, by the way, okay? He's my friend. I don't want him on the floor passed out with pain, okay? I would never do that. Purposefully. On accident, I might. No, he's guarding his arm. Like, you stay away from me. I'm moving back. But if I was to slap him like that, and then I go up to him and I say, I'm sorry. He's going to kind of go, no, you're not. But if I come up to him and say, Dennis, I apologize. I was wrong. I should not have done that to you. That changes things. You know what repentance is? Dennis, I will never do that ever again. And I don't.
Right.
I turn away from abusing Dennis to caring for Dennis. Repentance is when I turn from my own sinful will, my own sinful lusts, what I want to do, and thinking that that's going to get me to heaven, and saying, God, I'm going to take yours. I'm going to take your ways, I'm going to take your will, and I'm going to replace mine. That's repentance. From something to something. The same is true with liberty. We are free from something, but we are given glorious liberty unto something. Now, what is that something? Is it the freedom to do whatever we want? Is it the freedom to make our own choices? Is it the freedom to be whatever we want to do? Let's go back over to the book of James and take a look at that very quickly. He says, looking into the perfect law of liberty, let's look at it a little bit further. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, you got to go into this law. Liberty has a law, meaning that liberty is going to be done a certain way according to God's ways. God's laws. Now, we're not talking Old Testament law here. But this law of liberty, there's certain things. And what he says about this law of liberty here, he says, and continue therein. So you know what that begins to tell me? It means that there's something substantial to liberty. That liberty is not just this, oh, I'm free mentality. Oh, I have liberty. No, there's more to it. You have to use your liberty appropriately. You know, people in the United States of America, and one of the biggest problems we have in the United States of America is we don't know how to use our liberty. Well, everybody knows how to use liberty for themselves, right? Everybody knows how to use liberty for themselves. You know, there's individuals that you know, they know exactly how to walk that fine line between what is legal and not legal. I've seen those guys that have those big giant diesel trucks and they rig it so that when they stomp on the gas that it lays down this thick black coat of smoke in the air. You can't see anything. And you're sitting there thinking, 5 frogs died on a tree in South America when you did that. No. I'll tell you this. They're using their liberty incorrectly. But they have the right to do it, right? I mean, they can do that thing. They have the right. That's not liberty. He talks about what liberty is here, and if you begin to read the context of what goes on in James, and we'll get this here in just a second, we begin to understand that there's a principle that James is trying to get the Christian, this Christian during this period of time, get them to understand. Let's take a look at a couple of things here. He says, continueth therein. That means that if you're going to be in liberty, you have to continue in that liberty. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and let's go to chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And here he says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becometh a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know what liberty is? Liberty isn't for you. What do you mean? I'm free from sin and death, yeah. But liberty doesn't stop there. What does Ephesians 2, 8, 9 say? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? What does Ephesians 2, 10 say? We don't have that one quite memorized. There's a few people that do. Turn there. Keep your place over there in Corinthians. We'll go back. If you lost your place, sorry. But Ephesians chapter 2. I want to use this to make my statement sure. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know what that means? If you're going to walk in liberty, you better be walking in good works. Does that mean that you need good works for salvation? Absolutely not. You know what it means? It means you were saved for a reason. God gave you liberty for a reason. You need to know how to use it wisely. You don't use it, as it says there in chapter 8 and verse 9 of 1 Corinthians, that it's used to become a stumbling block. Somebody's walking along the way and you grab a hold of this giant chair and you throw it in their path and they trip over it and fall. Well, that's not very nice. That's something that's rude. You know what God says? That's what we do when we misuse our liberty. You know, there's things that we have to, as I said last week, take into consideration. When we're making decisions, we got to think of how that's going to impact someone else. When we make decisions, we got to ask ourselves a question. What's that going to do to the people in church? Well, like, who cares about the people in church? God does. God does. Well, they're not me, and it's my life, and I don't care what they think or do. Well, maybe you should. Maybe we should stop and realize, you know what, this life isn't ours to begin with in the first place. Maybe we need to realize that, hey, if we've been given liberty, maybe we're not supposed to use it selfishly. Well, there's other verses, too. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, it's about going back into bondage. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, and here he says, verse 12, he says, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. We talked about people troubling you this morning in Sunday school. In verse 13, he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Jesus Christ said, come, be free from sin, be free from death. Come to me. How many of us here have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? We know we have a home in heaven when we die. You know what you did? You chose to come to Jesus Christ. Right. You've been called unto liberty, and this is what he says, only use not liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but by love, serve one another. You're like, you just had to use that verse, didn't you? Yes, I did. Remember what I said about getting beat up every Sunday? I get beat up by this message every single day of the week as I'm preparing it. So you guys get beat up for an hour, I get beat up for 5 days. Bring it on. Think about that for a second. Not an occasion for the flesh, not for us. I don't use the liberty and the salvation that God's given me so that I can please me. I use it so I can serve you. That's what liberty is. We got a lot of people walking around the United States of America that think liberty is only for them. I can do whatever I want to do. I don't care what my neighbor says. Maybe you should. Maybe you should. Maybe you should think, is that ruining a witness? Maybe you should think, am I causing harm to someone else? Now, how many of us know the names of our neighbors? How many of us have witnessed to our neighbors personally? How many of us would know if our neighbors were going through a hard time? We have to ask ourselves some questions about what liberty is. An opportunity, seeking an opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 16, here again he says very clearly, as free. As free. Now, rhetorical dumb question. How many of you are glad that you have the freedom that we have in this country today? Amen. A few of us are. How many of you want to go over to Sweden and have socialized medicine? How many of us want to have 63% of our paycheck taken to support government? And those that don't, never mind. Anyways, people talk about, oh, it's so great over in Sweden and Scandinavia and Canada and everywhere else. Not that great, folks. It's free. I mean, we got freedom in this country. Praise God for it. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. You know what? Cloak of maliciousness? You're hiding something. Cloak. You're hiding it. Somebody puts on a cloak over them and you know what they're hiding? And they say, well, this is my liberty. This is what I have. They're using that to harm someone else. And God says, you ought not do that. But the verse didn't end there, did it? What does he say in the next part? Servants of God. What does a servant do? Serve. Serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. God makes it very clear. God makes it very clear. Liberty is used for others. You know, in order to continue in liberty, as he says over there in James chapter 5, you know what we have to do? James chapter 1 verse 25. Go over there real quick. Take a look at that. James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So not only do we have to look into it, not only do we have to continue in it, but we have to remember to listen. It says right there, being not a forgetful hearer. How many times has it happened to you? Maybe this is just because I'm getting up there in the mileage category. You're talking with somebody and you can't remember what they just told you. That ever happened to anybody? Oh, good. It happens to young people too. Praise God. I'm not going senile yet. You know what? We become a forgetful hearer. Now, I know this for a fact, and I kind of speak in, you know, facetious here when I said that. I know that many times I was a forgetful hearer as a youth. When my parents said, clean your room, and I went, yes, ma'am. And I didn't do it. And then I thought I told you to clean your room. Oh, I forgot. No, you just didn't care enough to remember. You're like, oh, that's harsh. But it's truth. It is truth. We begin to sit there and think about it. And he says here that we're not supposed to be a forgetful hearer. If we're going to continue in this liberty that God has given us and we're going to look into it, we're going to realize, you know what? I need to make sure I pay attention to what God tells me. If he's given me liberty, then you know what I need to make sure I do? I need to remember that it's not for him, for me. And I can't forget that. I have to remember. I'm not supposed to be the forgetful hearer. God has an expectation of you to remember. Well, that's a big expectation. Then you better start looking to Christ for help with that. Because he did say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if you're remembering to keep his word and remembering that, that's part of it. But it doesn't just end there with listening. Guess what? God expects action. God expects action. You're sitting in a service. We're almost done here. We're talking about liberty. Thank God for the liberty we have in this country. Thank God for that. And he's talking about, here's some guy rambling and rattling on about how liberty is not for ourselves and we can't be selfish with it. We need to make sure that we're serving one another and that's the purpose of liberty. All these things. And we don't want to be a forgetful hearer of it. You know what? We need to go out and do something about it. We need to go out and do something about it. We can't just be content to just sit there and go, oh, that was a great sermon, and then do nothing. God expects us to do something. And that's what, I mean, we have faith, right? Faith requires action. We have love. Love requires action and obedience. And here he says, liberty, I've given you liberty. What that requires? It requires action too. You ever notice God is like one of those trainers? He keeps pushing you and pushing you and pushing you to do one more rep, one more rep, one more lap, one more lap. And as you're pushing that 500 pounds with your legs, you're looking at him going, I'm going to kill you type mentality to that trainer. They're pushing you and pushing you further and further to do and do more. You know what? Oftentimes we look at God with a kind of a despiteful manner and we don't want to do it because he's pushing us and it pushes us outside of our comfort zone and it pushes us outside of where we want to be. I mean, we're so content to just dwell in our own little liberty, in our own little liberty shack with our own little liberty car and have our own little liberty family and not do any liberty to anybody else. But bless God, God asks us to go do something in the liberty to someone else, and we go, we can't do that, folks. Liberty isn't meant for just us. You know, say what you will about the United States of America, and sometimes we do wind up being the world's policemen. And sometimes we do try to go in there and put in a democracy or whatever it is we try to put in into these countries, trying to get them to work and get their own constitution and do things like that. And as faulty as that may be, you know what the purpose behind it is it's just somebody else wants to have, that we want them to have the same liberties we have. I really can't fault anybody for that. We got no business being there messing with it. What? To say, hey, look, I want somebody to have liberty that I have? I mean, how many of us would want somebody to have the liberty that we have here in the United States of America that's living in an oppression? I mean, wouldn't we want the people of North Korea to actually, you know, have liberty to eat? Liberty to live a life? Liberty to read the Word of God? Yeah. And as flawed as it may be in our execution, we as Christians, we need to look at that and go, you know, maybe I need to start proclaiming the liberty to someone else. Maybe I need to use that liberty the way that God wants me to. You know, liberty has restraint. I have to disagree with Webster on this. Liberty has restraint. To do what is good. To do what is right for Christ. To restrain ourselves from our own will. We have as much liberty to do good towards someone else. We have as much liberty to do good and follow Christ's commandment more than anything. Now look, I want us to understand this. You know, we no longer live that life. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 makes it very clear that we as Christians, you know, we don't live that life. We don't live a life of sin. We stay away from it. We've been saved from sin. We don't want to go back to that. You know, somebody that's institutionalized is somebody that's been in a prison cell and that's all they know for their life. And it's sad. Why? Because they become a repeat offender. Because that's the only thing they know. I'll tell you this. Sin isn't the only thing we know. I don't know about you, but I know about the joy of Jesus Christ. I know about the peace that only He can give. I know about the love that He has towards me and has towards everyone here. I know about that faith that truly motivates and moves and causes action. I know about all those things that are the fruit of the Spirit and how that fruit is of the Spirit of God that is in my life that I too am also supposed to bear for other people. We live in such a world filled with pride that we begin to think liberty is ours. And it's not. We begin to live an institutionalized life. We go back to that sin. Go back to our will. And I want to close with this. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And when it comes to liberty, this is the verse. This is the verse. Stand fast in verse 1. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christian, this morning, don't let yourself get trapped up in this world of sin. Don't let yourself get tied up with the sins of this world and our own will. Above all, don't get trapped up into thinking that the liberty that you have, that Christ has given you, is for you and you alone. Don't be prideful. Remember, Jesus Christ saved you for a reason. He expects you to do something with the life He's given you. Now, I'll tell you this. Every 4th of July comes around in America and we blow up half the free world. We do. I mean, we set so many things on fire and blow so many things up that, yeah, it's kind of scary to any country that would want to come over here and try to do anything against us, because all they'd have to do is, 1/4 of July has got more firepower than we've got in our arsenal. But you know what? It's not about all the booms and the bangs. It's not all about the parades and things like that. It's about the liberty that we have with Jesus Christ. Our founding fathers understood that. You know what they wanted? They wanted every single person that was in the United States of America to have the liberty that is found in Jesus Christ. And that's how they began to frame what we have today, based upon the liberty that they saw in Jesus Christ. And they wanted an entire country to have that. Would to God that we would look at the liberty we have in our lives and say, you know what, I want somebody else to have that too. Praise God, I am free from sin. I am free from death. My Savior won the victory. He fought the original War of Independence. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you so much for this time. And Lord, I just thank you as we talk about liberty, what you've given us. And Lord, I know that I probably have not done justice to the liberty that you have given to us. But Lord, I do ask and I pray this. We would continue to look into that law of liberty. And we would look into what you've given us. We'd look into that gospel that you've given to us, that we would turn and give that to someone else. Lord, again, I just thank you so much for this country that we do live in. And I thank you so much for this freedom that we do have to even meet here today. And Lord, I just pray we would understand those things. And that, Lord, we would desire to continue in the liberty to not be that forgetful hearer, to be a doer, to be your servant. Lord, again, I thank you for those that are here. I pray we'll just keep these things in our hearts. And I ask and I pray this in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.